Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Big Monday edition of the program. A ton of stuff happening over the weekend. IU picks up a Big Ten Conference win, a very competitive game down the stretch that, to be quite honest, IU very fortunate to win. Obviously, we'll talk about that. Juwan Morgan goes down. A scary moment for the Hoosiers. He tries to walk off the floor. He has to sit at about midcourt before he's helped off. He did not return in that game, so obviously concern there. The injury bug has just been ferocious against this IU team so far this season. I think that no question about it, injuries, the biggest concern so far, of course, turnovers and other mishaps throughout some of the games you want to see fixed, and you've got hope that they can be fixed, I think, with this team and the talent on this team. But injuries, something that you can't control, and that between practice and games has really hindered, I think, the early progress of this team. So Juwan Morgan, the big one now to see how serious this is. Is this something that's going to keep him out for a while? Is this just something as simple as, I think, Northwestern coach Chris Collins said he thought it was a cramp initially, a pretty severe cramp. So there have been reports all across the board, or, you know, guesses all across the board, I should say, on what this could be. But let's hope that Juwan Morgan, obviously for Indiana's sake, with some big non-conference games coming up, and then the Big Ten Conference play starting in force in January, let's hope that he's back very soon and that this is something very minor for him. Also, on top of those two items, an unexpected item on Friday afternoon, it happened really quickly from what I understand, Trace Jackson Davis commits to IU. Just a couple weeks ago, everybody was a little bit up in arms that he wasn't going to sign in the early period. He was going to wait, make his commitment, just wasn't ready to make his decision, wanted to watch the college teams play a little bit more before he and see how maybe he would fit into the offenses and things that they're running before he makes his decision. Something changed, and he, again, coming down pretty quickly on Friday, began to hear some rumblings that he had let Coach Alford and UCLA know earlier in the day he would not be coming to their college, and maybe just the thought narrowing his list down one more time, and then that commitment came to IU. Of course, just in time for Center Grove and Cathedral for head-to-head IU matchup between Trace and Armon Franklin at Cathedral. But a big weekend for IU, Big Ten Conference win in the books, big-time recruit commits. Now the question mark remains, what's the status of Juwan Morgan with his injury in the game over the weekend? Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at the Northwestern victory. We'll take a look more about Center Grove's Trace Jackson Davis, his commitment to IU. We'll also recap some of the big high school basketball performances over the weekend. New Albany goes on the road and wins on Saturday night. Jeff and Floyd Central both victorious down in the Evansville area on Friday night. A big early weekend for some of our local teams who were successful, and now we gear up for what I call the first huge weekend of high school basketball this coming Friday and Saturday. And of course, everybody knows it starts over the weekend with Floyd Central at New Albany. Going to be a huge game coming up later this week. We'll talk about that some as well. That's a look at the guest lineup. That's segment one. Let me finish it out for you. Segment two, we've got Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He joins us to recap the IU-Northwestern game, talk the very latest with IU basketball. Big performance, by the way, for Romeo Langford in the absence of Juwan Morgan late in that game, but throughout the contest, he shot it well, very consistent for IU, 20 points to lead the way. We'll talk about his effort as well. Then later, Chad Gilbert is with me. Chad and I will talk about some of the high school standouts from over the weekend and some other local stuff, and specifically some basketball stuff today as well when he's with us. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Now, I know a lot of you go out there. Maybe you get your ham and turkey and things like that for your holiday gatherings, which Thanksgiving is in the books, but Christmas is just around the corner. Don't forget you can stop by for lunch. They've got great box lunches, great sandwiches, great soups, and don't be shy. Tell them you're there to because you listen to the Hoosier Report, and they'll give you a dollar off each day when you're in there for lunch. It's a good deal. Make sure you take advantage of it. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines now, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill, which was rocking over the weekend, as you can imagine, on Saturday for that midday IU game. Indiana wins it, 68-66 the final score, 15 ties and 14 lead changes in the game. It was nip and tuck for a great part of the game. Romeo Langford had, again, a huge game, but he came up big with a basket, 50 seconds maybe or so left in the game to really help Indiana. And then, of course, Justin Smith had a layup. Vic Law banked in a three-pointer. Then there was a long three. I guess Fennessy made one of two free throws. A kind of a desperation shot at the buzzer just missed, and Indiana was able to hold on to get a win, not only a needed win after that Duke loss, but also a Big Ten Conference win. We talked about how early wins in the conference, the next game coming up on the road at Penn State here in just a few days for Indiana would be big, especially with the way that IU opens the conference and with how competitive and talented the conference is and has been through non-conference play, even more so than what a lot of people, I think, expected it to be. So Indiana gets a win, very important for IU to win that one at home. Now they must go to Penn State and try to win on the road, which I think is a very doable task. Obviously, Juwan Morgan's health has a big part to do with some of this stuff coming up, not just the Penn State game, but Indiana getting that first win on the road, getting that first win at home and then getting one on the road in the Big Ten Conference, they would have a 2-0 record to get back into non-conference play. And I really think that's important for the conference race this year, to be in that top echelon of teams. If you can win these two early ones, you've got yourself a lot better down the stretch when the heart of the conference season, the tough schedule, the way Indiana opens, gets here on January 3rd. Romeo Langford, the key performer of the game for the Hoosiers, 20 points, 8 of 13 shooting. He pulled down 5 rebounds. He had 2 steals, 2 block shots, 1 assist, and he played a total of 36 of 40 available minutes. So playing a lot of minutes and getting a lot of opportunities, and a big game for him. Maybe his most complete game as a college basketball player. He was coming off of, I think what's safe to say, his worst all-around game at Duke as a college player in his young career as a freshman. He has his best game over the weekend against Northwestern to open up Big Ten Conference play. Overall, a decent Indiana performance. Indiana, obviously, looking at turnovers and things of that nature, they had 13, which is a number that I always watch in that box score. Indiana has been up 18-20 the last couple games, down to 13. They get a win on their home floor. Now Indiana goes to Penn State. Penn State is not expected to be at the top of the conference, maybe not even middle of the conference, but they've got a couple players that are talented. They were able to be competitive in some of their non-conference games so far, including their ACC Big Ten Challenge game. So Indiana will definitely have a challenge on their hands when they go to Penn State coming up here very soon. Juwan Morgan's health, one of the big things to pay attention to. Obviously, who else maybe returns? Who else gets stronger after getting some minutes over the weekend. A couple guys still out, a couple guys just returning. So some interesting movement, I think you can say right now, in the IU roster with injuries and players coming and going as far as their health. And just because you come back to a game and you're able to clear to play doesn't mean that you're able to go at the level that you can play at. I mean, I think everybody understands that, and sometimes it can take a game or two, even if you log a lot of minutes, to get back in the flow of things and be able to contribute in the way that you want to contribute, in the way that the coaches expect you to contribute. So definitely kind of interesting to see how these injuries have affected the team and how they will moving forward as well. Our next headline is about Trace Jackson Davis. Obviously, it's a big commitment for Archie Miller and the coaching staff. Just a week ago, they were four deep, four coaches in attendance to watch his game at Franklin Central in Indianapolis. 6'8", post player, very talented, great hands, can step out on the wing in the baseline and shoot it a bit as well. He was down to IU, Michigan State, and UCLA. He kind of delayed his decision. He never set a date. It's not like he postponed it or anything of that nature, but it seemed like maybe he was intent to watch this college basketball season unfold and see exactly some of the details on how these teams do, even into the heart of conference play. But as I said, Friday, I got a call that said, hey, he's not going to UCLA. Maybe he'll commit to Indiana soon over the next week or so. Not only does that not happen, he commits later in the day in time for him and Armon Franklin to square off that night as IU commits together. But IU knew about this. This was not a surprise to Archie Miller because he had already signed his letter of intent, which is how Archie was able to recognize him and speak about him after the Northwestern win in that press conference. So he was able to sign in the early signing period, or he did sign at some point in the early signing period, just after saying he wouldn't and that he would sign in the late period and make his decision somewhere between that point and the late signing period. So he signs and gets it out of the way. Kind of a bizarre situation, but obviously huge for Indiana, huge specifically for Archie Miller. He lands Romeo Langford and a number of other very talented, you know, in-state players in the 2018 class. He comes back to nab Trace Jackson Davis in 2019. Keon Brooks' recruitment seems to be moving a little bit. He was questioned pretty hard over the weekend about maybe an upcoming decision for him and how Trace Jackson Davis's commitment to IU could affect what he does. So that could be churning a little bit there. And, of course, Armon Franklin already in the hopper for the Hoosiers. But big successes in the state of Indiana so far for Archie Miller. Big successes in the state, even though the success on the court hasn't been to that level yet. Obviously, in season one, it's a rebuilding effort. There were good moments. There were bad moments. Season two, very much similar. There have been some really good moments. There have been a couple losses that, especially the Duke game, very tough, I'm sure, to see. But overall, in the state of Indiana, despite anything that's happened, good or bad, on the court, he is making the waves in the recruiting scene. There's no question about it. And pretty much, I don't want to say having his way with Indiana's best players, but being involved and being a real player from the get-go. And if you get back-to-back classes loaded with so much in-state talent like what Indiana has had, all it does is pave the road and make it better in the future, easier in the future, to keep the top players from Indiana here. There's no question that even though Romeo Langford is not at all expected to be at IU beyond this season, his being there, his choosing Indiana back last spring, helped a lot of guys consider Indiana that are currently being recruited by IU, helped Trace Jackson Davis, he said this, make his commitment to IU. So he will be, his effects on Indiana's program in many ways, on the court, off the court, from a recruiting standpoint, even from a fan interest standpoint, I think will help the program for a number of years to come. But Trace Jackson Davis, huge news for Indiana going into the weekend. And again, a little interesting how he did it. He had already signed. The signing period has been over, for, I guess, a week and a half now. So IU coaches have known for a while. He finally got around to notifying, I guess, the other coaches this week, maybe on Friday before he made his public announcement. But for a guy that had already signed his letter of intent and the coaches knew, that meant a number of people knew, his family, the IU coaches, and others. nothing got out. Nobody had a sniff of this until things started moving a little bit Friday, I think late to mid to late afternoon, we'll say, on Friday. But interesting how it works out. Huge get for IU. Huge get for Archie Miller. Amazing what he's been able to come in and do from a recruiting perspective, keeping some of Indiana's key players in state. If he gets Keon Brooks, and I think that, and I have no inside knowledge of this, but I think it's very possible. If he gets Keon Brooks in this 19 recruiting class, back-to-back classes with what he's had, with the caliber of players from the state of Indiana, it's an unbelievable feat. He's already done great, great work, but you add Keon Brooks to the mix, who some of these kids are picking IU over, and the success that those teams have had recently or are continuing to have, big recruiting successes for Archie Miller as he opens his tenure at Indiana. A couple other things. Speaking of Trace Jackson Davis, he had a good performance on Friday night. His team almost lost to Cathedral. It was a great game. Came back and won. Saturday night, they beat Bloomington North 71-64. Jackson Davis, 11 points in the final period, 33 total points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks for Trace Jackson Davis. He's a stat stuffer, at least he has been so far this high school basketball season. Also, a look at high school basketball over the weekend going back to Friday. Floyd Central with a big win on the road. Not just the fact that they won, but the manner in which they won, the score by which they won, 69-43. They defeated Castle, led by Kobe Barnes. No surprise that he's going to lead this team each and every game this season. And with Floyd Central scoring points like they did, 32 points by Barnes in the game. He gets one of our game balls for this second full week of high school basketball. Obviously a big win on the road for Floyd Central now as they get ready for the game Friday night at New Albany. Jeffersonville also picked up a big win down in the Pocket City on Friday night. They defeated Evansville Ballsy, who's ranked number 3 in Class 3A and has a lot of talent. Ballsy not as far along maybe as what you would think for a team that's been as highly ranked as they are this season, but they're still athletic, they're still pesky, and anytime you can go down to Evansville and specifically Ballsy and get a win, it's always a big day. Leading the way for Jeffersonville, Jacob Jones, he had 13 points. Not only did he score the basketball, but he directed the court well for Jeffersonville. Trey Coleman added 11 for the Red Devils in the win. A couple other games to mention. New Albany wins on Saturday night. They improved to 2-0 on the year. One of our game balls goes for the second straight week to Derek Stevenson. He had 20 points in the win over New Albany. Julian Hunter makes his debut. He was unable to play against Bloomington South last week because of not having the 10 mandated practices in after recovering from an injury. But 15 points from him in his debut. He looked good. He definitely, in a positive way, affected the Bulldogs team. Not just scoring, he had a couple big fun dunks as well, but blocks and defense and his length and height. Amazing how he can affect the game, especially on the defensive end of things as well. But Derek Stevenson leading the way again for New Albany. Silver Creek also a big winner. They knocked down Jennings County 85-49, one of the many 4A teams and Hoosier Hills Conference teams on the Dragons schedule once again for this upcoming year. Trey Kaufman, the sophomore, will give him a game ball. 24 points in the win over the weekend for Silver Creek. Cooper Jacoby had 16. Those two sophomores have been doing a lot of things, scoring a lot of points, doing a lot of things on the court for Silver Creek in addition to some of their upperclassmen. That is a very, very potent combo that Silver Creek has, no question about it. Another game ball over the weekend goes to Christian Academy guard junior TJ Proctor, 29 points, as Christian Academy was able to beat sectional opponent New Washington 54-38 without their key standout Bailey Conrad, who had an ankle injury during warmups that kept him out of the game. But a number of big performances this weekend. Also Providence, I want to make sure we include this. Providence, a winner. They get their first victory under Coach Sean Smith as he begins his debut as head coach. Long wait to open the season as well for the Pioneers, but they win 80-68 over a solid Austin team, leading the way for them. Nick Sexton, he had 16 points, 14 points from Sterling Huber and Hayden Burke. I think Sexton will lead Providence a lot this year. Maybe not always in scoring, but more so in directing traffic on the floor, a heady basketball player that somebody you want on your team. He's going to be big key for that Providence team to see how they do and the success that they're able to find on the court this week. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, and of course it's the home for all IU basketball games. Make sure you make plans to get to Hoopsters. Check out the game with Penn State. A great IU fan base there. Phil Caldwell does a great job. They play the fight song in between commercial breaks. Great apps, great food, cold drinks, of course, as well. Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, who is with me on Mondays as we talk IU basketball. And, of course, a lot to get to. We recap the IU Northwestern game. Trace Jackson Davis is now in the recruiting fold with IU. But I want to start with Juwan Morgan. He went down, tried to help himself off the court, had to sit down, just flat sit down at midcourt, needed some help to get off of the playing floor. Not a lot said about him after the game. I think the Northwestern coach mentioned that, you know, he hoped it obviously wasn't anything serious, but thought it could be something as simple as cramps. But obviously he appeared to be in a lot of pain and did not come back, or no attempt to bring him back in that game. Any insight, any word on what this might be, what this could be with Juwan Morgan? I know you hate to speculate on injuries, which are something that have really, really hindered this IU team so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of seems to be, like the weeds in your yard. You tear one out and two more pop up for Archie Miller. Nothing firm, and Indiana obviously keeps a pretty close guard on injuries these days. It really always has, especially in men's basketball. The one thing I'll say is watching it on camera, they seem to be working on his lower, I forget which leg it was. I want to say it was his left, but one way or the other, sort of the lower half of his leg. It looked to me like Tim Garl had some ice in a cup and was just kind of rubbing ice over sort of that lower leg area and kind of maybe the bone area, which makes you think it maybe isn't a ligament, which, you know, or at least it's not a problem in a joint, at very least, which is probably the best possible news for Indiana. And we've obviously seen, I mean, last year, I think Juwan Morgan went down under really, really painful circumstances at Michigan State and then comes back and plays the next game out. I want to say it's against Maryland on a Monday night and plays very, very well in a win. So from Indiana's perspective, I mean, look, he's 1A and Romeo Langford's 1B of players that this team just can't afford to lose for any stretch of time, especially right now when you've got Penn State on the road on Tuesday, Louisville at home next Saturday, then Butler in Indianapolis the Saturday after that. But from IU's perspective, at least watching kind of the way it was handled after the game, it didn't seem too bad. But as you said, you don't want to speculate because I've seen guys walk off, you know, football fields under their own power, and 2 days later it's announced they've got a torn ACL.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, obviously concerned about that, but still some good to take away from the game. Number one, it was a win. Number two, it was a Big Ten Conference win, and Romeo Langford stepped up when needed. He had a good game from start to finish, but a really good second half and a really good close to the game. I don't know, the last 7.5 minutes or so, he scored a lot of points, key baskets, did some big things all the way around. I thought maybe his most all-around game, best game as a college player so far.
Well, and you know, we've talked at different points about how one of the strengths, potentially, if it can get healthy, of this Indiana team is that it's not going to ask Romeo Langford to do a lot other than what he does really well. It's not going to ask Romeo Langford to be a vocal leader. It's not going to ask Romeo Langford to be you know, sort of its number one defensive stopper. It's not even necessarily every night going to have to ask Romeo Langford, as long as Juwan Morgan's healthy, obviously. It could be its number one scorer, you know, its leading scorer. And so it's just, it's a team that is built around just letting Romeo Langford kind of be Romeo Langford, for lack of a better term. That said, when you've got a player of that talent, you do maybe want to see that instinct to turn it up a level when another guy of Juwan Morgan's stature goes down. Because, you know, it's worth pointing out, Romeo Langford had some great teammates in high school and in AAU and all that, but he was always probably the best player on his team. Now he may still very well be the most talented player on his team, but he's certainly got one or two other guys around him that, again, maybe it's their night and a defense is queuing in on Romeo and he doesn't need to worry about getting to 20, 24 points. He knows that Indiana can pivot to a Juwan Morgan or, you know, pivot somewhere else for some of its offense and stretches. This team isn't going to ask him to be, you know, the alpha dog every single night. But when it needed him to be, you know, I think his comment after the game was there was nothing that needed to be said. When it needed him to just kind of find that next gear, he did, and it seemed almost effortless. It certainly didn't seem like something Archie Miller had to sit him down and say, listen, it's your time now. You've got to do this. A switch almost flipped. And I think that's really – it's obviously a good sign for his mentality just in general, whether it's at Indiana or when he moves on to the pros. But I think it's also good for Indiana and for Romeo Langford to know that, listen, if we're in a tight spot and it's got to be you, there's virtually no other option. We know you can do it.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest, talking about IU's win over Northwestern and specifically the early season performance, or the big performance, I should say, of Romeo Langford over the weekend. Let's talk about some things that have been issues for this team so far this season. One of those has been turnovers. I think Indiana had 13 in the game, which is down from previous games, and they get the win, so that's a good sign. And free throws, that has been another issue that from really start to this point has been an issue. And when you're in close games down the stretch like this Northwestern was, and it was a heck of a ball game to watch if you're a fan with just wanting to see a good basketball game. I guess obviously if you're an IU diehard, it's probably nerve-wracking as hell to watch a game this close and back and forth and Juwan Morgan out and big shots made and things like that. But free throws have been an issue for Romeo Langford. They've been an issue generally for this team so far this season, and as they get into Big Ten Conference play for good coming up in January, I think we're all well aware that there's going to be lots of close games and lots of battles down the stretch. Games will be won and will be lost for sure, I think, in the Big Ten Conference at the free throw line, and that's an issue they got to clean up.
Yeah, I mean, I'd also say games are going to be won and lost in terms of, you know, how many points you can limit an opponent scoring on you know, errors. And, you know, Duke was all sorts of different things for Indiana. But if I'm Archie Miller, I'm pointing at turnover numbers against Arkansas. And I'm saying, listen, we could be 7-1 right now with a totally I don't know if he'd say it quite this way, but with a totally understandable loss at Duke. And we're probably ranked. And we've got a really valuable road win already at Arkansas. And we're feeling good about ourselves. We've won some, you know, a couple tight games. And I think you even, if you're Indiana, you can even feel good about losing the Arkansas game the way you did, in the sense that you executed well at the end. You just couldn't get a layup or a tip in to fall, but you still executed in a pressure situation really well. But the reality is this is a team that clearly has to cut those mistakes down. There's no question about that. And I think the frustrating thing has been at times the way that Indiana has maybe been has allowed opponents to rattle them, I guess. And you feel like some of those turnovers come from Indiana just kind of losing its poise for a minute. And when this team is kind of locked in and really focused, it can limit turnovers. You know, it's not just, you mentioned that number from Saturday, but there have also been games where the turnovers have been heavily slanted to one half, which suggests that once it can kind of be emphasized in a way that it's at the forefront of everyone's mind, Indiana could play well, not play timid, but still limit turnovers. It's just a matter of, you know, really kind of drilling that in and letting that become more instinctive for, admittedly, a team that is young and has had to play even younger because of some injuries to different guys that are just now kind of coming back. Now, the free throws, you know, that's maybe a little bit longer-term concern. And I think in particular, when you look at the fact that Indiana wasn't a great free throw shooting team last year, But this is a team that has the capacity to get to the free throw line a lot. Romeo Langford, Juwan Morgan, Deron Davis. You know, you'd even look at a guy like Justin Smith, who I know is struggling in some areas. He's still getting to the free throw line a fair bit. You've got to make that work for you. And you can, you know, it's not just close games, but you can, you know, you can win a game by 9 or 10 or 11 points that maybe would have been close, except you kept making free throws that kept the other team at arm's length. That's one where I'm not going to say it's as simple as just working on it in practice, but you just, you got to find ways to knock those down. Because they can be a real difference maker for a team that, again, is still struggling with some turnovers. And also, you know, frankly, he's probably going to shoot the three better than he did last year, but I don't think he's going to have a lot of nights where it's shooting 50, 55% from behind the arc. You can't throw away the free points.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. You can read his coverage of the Hoosiers at indystar.com/sports. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Zach Osterman. Zach, maybe that game Saturday, as I watched it come down the stretch and as Indiana eked to the victory in that game, maybe that's the type of game that we'll see a lot in the Big Ten Conference, not just with IU games, but as a whole, because I think, as we've talked about previously, the Big Ten Conference has fared better, maybe been more competitive across the board than what I think some people thought heading into the season before anything had been tipped up. Archie Miller even made a comment post-game that, you know, he doesn't see any real weak spots in the Big Ten Conference. Obviously, there are some teams that are better than others, but nobody just terrible. No bottom dwellers necessarily as far as the talent level goes in the conference. I think IU fans and fans of Big Ten basketball in general, other teams in the conference, maybe could get used to that kind of back-and-forth game and that kind of score for a lot of games this upcoming winter once we get into the full schedule of what starts January 2nd, I think, with Big Ten Conference basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might well be right. I think right now you look at the top of the conference and there's Michigan, and you could just sort of say Michigan is head and shoulders above. You look at the bottom of the conference, it seems like right now Illinois is probably running behind everybody else. But, you know, there's that wide middle. You know, I put together my AP Top 25 ballot every week. Basically, I just keep a running Google document where I have my top 25 from the previous week. I try to keep a pretty updated list of teams that I also want to consider. And, you know, you've got, just from my memory, I'm not sitting in front of my computer, but Wisconsin, Ohio State, Nebraska, Maryland, Purdue, Indiana, maybe to some extent Michigan State, which is, I think, maybe a little bit above that group right now, but certainly vulnerable to maybe being pulled back into it. You know, Minnesota has had some nice moments here early in the season. So you're looking at the Big Ten and saying there could be 8-9 teams right there in that middle that we've maybe called it sort of a soft middle the last couple of years. This year it feels more like it's going to be a more competitive middle, one that could, you know, last year, what, Indiana only gets four teams in the NCAA tournament, one that could turn out, absent maybe Michigan and Michigan State, even still 6-7 tournament-caliber teams. And I think what that means is if you look at the KenPom projections and all those things, you're going to be seeing a lot of games people expect to be decided by no more than two possessions. And if, from Indiana's perspective, I think it's good to have a game like last night. Again, I think it's even good to have a game like Arkansas. I know they lose, but in a pressure situation, when they need a basket, they execute just right, except they can't get a layup to fall or a tip in to fall. But if you're, I said this many times when people would say, well, Robert Finney drove too early in that Arkansas game. If I'm a head coach, I'm taking those two looks all the time, every day, and I back my team to win 9 times out of 10, 19 times out of 20, whatever. It's just, it's one of those flukes where every once in a while the ball rolls off the rim. But you could even maybe look at a UC Davis at a UT Arlington and say it's good that Indiana is obviously still flawed, but is getting some of these experiences early in the season of having to execute in a tight situation down the stretch, having to make a free throw, having to you know, build a really sharp offensive possession, because that's something that, especially for a younger team, having that experience and being able to draw back on it later in the season is going to be potentially really valuable.
Talking to Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Good stuff on IU. Zach, before we let you go real quick, I want to ask you about Trace Jackson Davis. That commitment, surprising, I think, on Friday to a lot of people. And even more surprising than the commitment is, he had already signed his letter of intent during the early signing period, which allowed Archie Miller to officially welcome him to the program and talk about him in the press conference after the Northwestern game. That's a huge get for Archie Miller, and it's really surprising how it all went down.
Yeah, that was sneaky, wasn't it? The commitment, I don't want to say I was totally surprised in that the way that Trace Jackson Davis had been talking publicly, you just kind of got the sense that that it was just kind of going to happen. You know, since he didn't have a big announcement in November, but he also was saying he wasn't going to wait till the spring, you just sort of got the sense that when he was ready, he was just going to announce it, and that would be that. Now, obviously, I didn't know it was coming that day. I just sort of figured I'd even filed, you know, a few weeks ago, a story just to say, hey, if or when this happens, we can just update it with dates and times and details and throw it online so we have something quick, just because it kind of had the sense of one of those recruitments that was just going to end when the kid was ready and there wasn't going to be a predetermined date or anything like that. Now, sliding in the NLI under everybody's nose was obviously a pretty sneaky move from Trace Jackson Davis. But from Indiana's perspective, obviously, it's a really good addition. You know, you're talking about a guy who's going to be a front runner for Mr. Basketball. You're talking about a guy who looks like a likely McDonald's All-American at this point. He's going to be able to step into significant minutes with Juwan Morgan graduating after this season. And, you know, for what it's worth, if he's not a one-and-done type player, Deron Davis graduating after next season as well. And you just, you know, you can never have, I don't want to say you can never have too many big guys, but it's every team's got room for a guy that plays basketball the way he does, long, athletic, strong down low, comfortable back to the basket. Even if you want to be, you know, a little bit more up-tempo, even if you want to space the floor a little bit more, there should always be room for a guy with Trace Jackson Davis's skill set in your team and on your roster. And I think he's going to play right away at Indiana. I think he's probably going to see pretty big minutes right away at Indiana. And, you know, without – I promise this isn't me just shooting from the hip. It could very well help Indiana with Keon Brooks as well. And I know we've talked about that and the links that those two have. They've said they're not a package deal, but at the same time, they do seem very interested, and it seems like it's very appealing to them, the idea of the two of them playing together in college. And now they have that, you know, that opportunity with Jackson Davis having signed and Keon Brooks having Indiana as one of his final schools. So it could wind up paying double dividends for Indiana, giving him a great player for next season as a freshman, and then also giving him a real good chance to land one of his AAU teammates who himself is a really good college player.
Yeah, some really big pickups, 18 and 19 classes for Archie Miller. He has made some real inroads, there's no question about it, in-state recruiting. And he said he'd do so. He said that would be his goal in his very first press conference when he was introduced as IU's coach. Zach, thanks so much for coming on with us. I know you've got a busy time going right now. We appreciate you checking in. We'll be back with you again next Monday, and appreciate all of your insight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. A great way to start the week right here on the Hoosier Report with the latest on IU from the IU Insider with the Indianapolis Star. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. He's the Charlestown Athletic Director. He's also an IHSA Executive Board member. We'll talk some basketball items, some local stuff coming out of the weekend with high school hoops as well. We're getting ready for the big New Albany-Jeff rivalry later this week, and a lot more with Chad when we come back. Final segment on this Monday show coming your way next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday show. Final segment is with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. Chad, I started the show today. Always like to hand out some game balls, hypothetical game balls on the Monday show to some of the big performers over the weekend. And we had some good ones this week, and that's refreshing to see a number of players for different teams stepping up in the early going to get some big-time wins, especially for some of our local teams. I think we had three of them, Floyd, Jeff, and New Albany all went down to Evansville this weekend and picked up a road win. Those are always tough, especially the first time you make that swing, you make that trip for the first time of the season. But our local team's successful in doing that, and I think we're getting ready now for some really good weekends of high school basketball starting with this week.
Matt, this week is week two. Teams are still trying to find themselves, but it's good to see people step up and create a little bit of separation. You know, with Kobe Barnes, you know, you talk about him just a little bit, Matt. He separated himself, which looks like he's making a strong push to be on the Indiana All-Star team. You know, you think about he's got a teammate, a guy that signed from Lawrence North, correct?
Yes.
That he's beaten already. He went and beat Hemingway down at Castle, who is committed to Clemson. And I would guess those three would be fighting for a spot on that All-Star team, which if not on that team already. But I would think Kobe has created some separation where he's, you know, between those other two, that he's got himself a spot on that All-Star team just based on the start of the year. Now, how his team performs and how they continue to go and get better, how Kobe continues to perform, is going to play a lot into that one. But I think he's really set the tone early on. And then, like you said, big wins at Jeffersonville or at Bossy for Jeffersonville. You did a nice job calling that game, by the way. But, you know, you knew going into that game it was going to be an up-and-down affair. Both teams, both coaches like to coach fast, coach teams to play fast. And it's kind of like, you know, Coach Burkhart, he coached for Coach Luce at Marion. He was the freshman coach back then, and it's almost like Coach Luce has a little bit of Jedi mind tricked over Coach Burkhart, kind of like a Nick Saban over Kirby Smart type of deal. That he, you know, going in, he's going to have that edge going in, and I think that shows whenever they play. But, you know, an outstanding game down there for the Devils to get that win. Then you think about New Albany going on the road and getting a big win at Harrison. But is it to me, is it just me, though, or the Bulldogs kind of feel like they're flying under the radar a little bit? You know, we'll talk about that later on, but after this weekend, I don't think they'll be flying under the radar much more. But it just kind of seems like they're kind of in the back seat right now. I'm not sure why, but kind of the vibe I get. But one, someone who is not in the back seat and not under the radar for people in southern Indiana is Silver Creek, and they won't be under the radar long for people throughout the state. They've got, you know, some big games coming up this weekend with North Harrison and Columbus East, and they're taking on all comers at Silver Creek. They're someone who's going to be a force to reckon with, barring injury in March.
Interesting comment somebody made to me coming back from the Jeffersonville at Ballsy game on Friday. If Ballsy truly is the number three team in 3A basketball in the state of Indiana, and I know it's early, and I know they got a lot of weapons, and their style can cause people problems, but if they truly are a top five team, we'll say, in 3A basketball and one of the better teams in the southern part of the state that would have to work through that semi-state, that regional, that's a good sign for Silver Creek, because what I saw Friday, Shane Burkhart's got a lot of talent to work with, and I'm sure they'll make a deep run. But Silver Creek, very balanced, very heady basketball team, playing well early in the year. Hard to imagine what they could look like once those sophomores and even freshmen that are getting some playing time become a little more seasoned at the varsity level. They go through that gauntlet of a schedule, regular season schedule that Silver Creek has put together, which I think will serve them tremendously well when the tournament gets here. But could be very interesting to see how good that team can be by the time March and the tournament rolls around. I think they'll take it to another level.
Well, you know, like you said, Bossy's ranked third in 3A. Bossy might be the third best team in that sectional. Now, Coach Shane Burkhart, he's going to work hard and have those guys ready and getting better every game as they go along. He's a great coach, and he gets the absolute most out of his players. But you think about that sectional, they've got Evansville Memorial, who have a lot of those kids coming off football runner-up team, state championship team the year before, and they've got a Division I kid, a big 6'8 kid who's committed to Austin Peay. They're not going to lay down for anybody. And I think Heritage Hills is in that sectional. Is that right, Matt?
Heritage Hills is in that same sectional? I think so.
Heritage Hills is very, very, very good. So it's that sectional is going to be a battle. The 3A regional is going to be like the Seymour regional as well. It's going to be outstanding basketball. And for those teams down there, there's a lot of great players in southern Indiana right now. A lot of young players, sophomores in general in southern Indiana that are really, really good that will battle come March.
Chad Gilbert, he's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member with us on Mondays. We talk a lot of high school hoops. We talk local stuff here in southern Indiana as well. New Albany, Floyd Central. It's one of the great games of Indiana high school basketball. That and Jeffersonville really stand out to me each year in our area. The Doghouse on Friday should be completely packed. Floyd Central comes in with a lot of momentum, a lot of hype around that team for this season so far. And again, it's led by Kobe Barnes, and rightfully so with what he's done. And then you got Jake Heidbreeder that's kicking in some major minutes and major points as just the sophomore, as a talented player in that same class, that sophomore class you just mentioned. And then, of course, New Albany trying to find its way without Romeo. That's been the storyline, but you've got Derek Stevenson, and Julian Hunter is now back, and a number of players on that team that have been balanced and have all scored and have all contributed more than what maybe offensively or point-wise they've been asked to do in the past. And I think that's a team as well, as they get a couple more games under their belt, could look a lot different than maybe what they did in game one or two this season. But Friday night should be a classic. I think you got a point to Floyd Central as the front runner coming into that game, even though it's at the Doghouse. But that's going to be a matchup to watch, and one that I think could help shape up the early part of the season. And I think I said this on the air last week, talking to Joe Luce, New Albany, Jeff Floyd Central, however that goes when they play in the regular season, it might go reverse of that, every one of them in the postseason. That's how I think within reach, at least, the three teams are from with each other this year.
Well, those guys will be battling. You can't count out Bedford, you know, sleeping down there, you know, in the weeds a little bit coming out of that one. I think Bedford's going to be pretty good this year, too. But talking about that New Albany Floyd game, the one person who I guarantee you will win on Friday at the Doghouse is Donnie Unruh, because he's going to get another sellout for that game. It's going to be a jam-packed, great atmosphere, great environment for high school kids to play in. You know, Floyd's obviously reloaded, and they're battle-tested on the road. New Albany with Hunter coming back, he had a good showing against Harrison. I think that'll be a great game. But, you know, it was 20 wins in a row for New Albany going into last year. You don't think Jim Shannon's not telling his players about that game last year, reminding them on every sprint this week, on every passing drill, on every dummy offense to be sharp on this, and how Floyd Central ended that streak last year? Then on the other side of that coin is, you don't think Todd Sturgeon's telling his guys that New Albany cost the Highlanders a state championship last year by beating them in the sectional? You know, and then you're going to play for all those guys who graduated last year. You're going to get both teams' best efforts. There's going to be a lot of emotion. There's going to be a big crowd. And the teams is going to win that game. Those are the fun games to play in, the fun games to coach in. And there's going to be highs and lows in those types of games. But whoever stays even keel, that's who's going to win that one. You know, you got great coaches in it. You got great assistant coaches. You know, we talked about Ryan Miller at Floyd last year. But B.J. McAllister is as good as there is coaching. You know, he could head coach anywhere in the state. And he's with Coach Jim Shannon on the sidelines. That is going to be an outstanding game Friday. It's going to be worth the $5 admission. It's going to be worth every kid out there making memories and playing for a spot, a chance to win the Hoosier Hills Conference. So an excellent atmosphere, an excellent game Friday night.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member. Chad, thanks for the chat.
Appreciate the run, Matt. Take care.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this Monday show. Exciting week. IU back at action tomorrow. Lots of high school stuff, as Chad and I just mentioned, coming up this weekend. Will be fun. Make sure you're with us every day, 11 a.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. I'll talk with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock.